Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
He's pounded down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can be done? We've got a long way to go.
Welcome to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Ramkel along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text to 343-0106. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, Atmore Dragway, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fabulous Seafood Shed. And we should get a report tonight from Nick over the operating partner.
Mm-hmm.
And general manager, the guy that makes everything tick, I think Benigni Pete. Is the public relations man.
So and Nick's the one that actually does all the work.
And Nick, we're going to talk to the real man that runs the place
there
tonight.
They got
a lot going on over there, so it'd be very enlightening to see what's happening over there. And he'll call us after a while and bring us up to date on all of that. But, man, what some awesome weather.
I tell you what, it's been really nice the last couple of days. Once you got past Saturday afternoon, other than that, it's been really nice. It has definitely been the start of summer here. I don't know if anybody
y'all got air conditioning in your building.
Not in the part I work in.
Naturally, you got big doors. Yep. You keep them open so the air will blow through.
We got about 25 or so doors down the sides there that just stays open, and it is what it is. You know, it's the facility really wasn't designed to have air conditioners, so for us to do that, it would be
Oh, no, y'all might as well rebuild if you're going to
have
air conditioning.
Yeah, and there's thoughts and talks about doing something like that somewhere down the road, but just not right now. Yeah, we'd love to be able to do that, but it would be a major undertaking. It's not just a matter of putting an air conditioning unit in.
I hear that. So. Well, you know, move the cars fast enough and, you keep enough air blowing around there, it doesn't bother you. But let me ask, y'all still got some 18s?
Well, we've got a few 18 trucks around, a few cars, but most of our inventory now is 19 model stuff. There are still, a handful of them. I think I looked the other day, and there was probably 8 or 10 18 trucks still out there, which they got a heck of a deal on.
I bet they have, man.
They will definitely deal with them for sure.
Yeah, well, you see a lot of these dealers now that's talking about $10,000 and $12,000 discount and all that kind of stuff. But, I would think the 18s would bring a pretty good discount. Whether they'd reach those figures or not, I don't know.
Yeah, and it all depends. I mean, it's all based on what GM offers, but they try and get the older inventory, moved on out. And they're pushing hard on this 19 model truck, and I don't blame them. It's a really nice truck. I've been really happy with mine. I've got probably, 4,700 miles on what I'm driving right now. So I've had.
If I was going to buy a vehicle, I believe I'd want the one that the service manager had been driving. Because I know if there's anything wrong with it, you're going to find it.
Well, yeah, and if there's any little glitches, whatever, I'm going to, get to looking and seeing if they got a fix for or whatever.
Right. And that being said, you're always in a new one, and you get 3,000 or 4,000 miles on them, and, then they turn around and sell them.
Right.
But where I'm going with this is the quality of the vehicles now that are coming out of the manufacturer, are they such that people that buy the new vehicles, are they going to have a bunch of little problems with them or not? Or are you seeing much of that in that you're personally driving these vehicles for yourself?
Well, when you have a new body come out like this 19 model, there's always going to be something that can be improved on, and they do that. Most of it's in like a programming type thing. Bringing in, they want us to program a brake module or the entertainment system or something, so you run into that fairly regular. As that body's been around a while, some of that kind of slows down because the platform's been around for a while at that point, and they've worked all the bugs out of it by then. But as far as anything mechanical, we really haven't had any mechanical issues that I can think of. It's been a pretty good truck. Very, very few real issues with it. You know, like I say, it's with any new platform, you're going to have your little glitches here and there.
Yeah. But, well, you expect that, you know.
Yeah.
But also, you've got human beings that are involved in, you know, working on these things. So
right.
Sometimes you're going to have a glitch.
Well, you know, and it's like I tell everybody, you know, it's they can do and they do million mile testing on these new things, you know, on the new vehicles mm-hmm. before they ever release them to the public, and they try and duplicate what you're going to do with them on the street, but it ain't nothing like giving it to Billy Bubba and his buddies and while they're out playing and seeing what they can do to one. To really find out what's going to happen.
the roads that we have a tendency to put them on are probably not what test roads that they utilize on those vehicles. Mm-hmm. But all that being said, I'm just extremely pleased with the types of vehicles that are being produced now and the quality of the vehicles. I think the quality from what I've seen and what I'm seeing from over the years, you know, let's say in the 70s and the 80s, along through there, if you wanted a quality vehicle, you had to go buy a damn import.
Well, you know? and we went through that time period, you know, back in the, I won't say late 70s, early 80s, even through the 80s. The domestic lines were not putting out very good quality mm-hmm. vehicles.
I think the imports all that's changed,
got their though. Yeah, imports got their foothold in here during that time period. And you know, hey, they did what they needed to
right.
do. You know, but really and truly, pretty much everything that I see out nowadays is pretty much a quality vehicle. You don't have the junk that.
Right,
they used to sell at one time, you know, because we had a period where not just with the domestic car lines, but, I mean, there was a bunch of them out there that mm-hmm. was putting out some junk, you know.
Well, I think they're pushing the quality so much more now.
Oh, yeah.
And the quality inspections. I mean, like when we talk with Kim Beck and him being in the factories with General Motors and Chrysler and with Ford,
mm-hmm.
and he's talking about all of the quality control specs that they do and how they're checking the paint even right. on the vehicles with like a laser print or something. You know, if it's got a piece of dirt in it and mm-hmm. for somehow or another a little piece of trash was flying around when it was being painted,
right.
then they go get that out.
Yeah.
You know, they don't just say, well, you know, it's only one little piece and let it go, you know.
You know, with all the vehicles that we have come through, it's amazing how few paint flaws we see, you know. And that's one of the things we inspect for when we're doing the pre-delivery inspection on the vehicles is we inspect the paint and you know, of course, we're also checking for transportation damage if something got scratched, scuffed, missing, or whatever.
Well, here you go again. You've got that human element involved.
Well, you know, it's I've seen some pretty well tore up, you know, on transport trucks coming down here. I mean, I remember years ago when I worked at McConnell, a truck driver made the mistake of turning west on Dolphin Street instead of east. And when you turn west going up Dolphin, there ain't nowhere to turn around.
Oh.
And there's a bunch of low-hanging oak trees.
Ooh, yes.
And they beat the tops out of a couple of them.
Oh, my God. So,
yeah, so it happens. Yeah.
Kevin, I wanted to ask you one question.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'll
That's
answer,
all you're allowed.
Yep.
Okay, but if you'll answer this truthfully,
mm-hmm.
I promise me and Tom will never tell anybody what you said.
Okay.
When you're driving those new trucks, don't you get the itch to put the pedal to the metal and just open it up and just see what that truck will do?
Well, with the limiters and stuff that are on it, I pretty much know what it'll do. So
limiters?
Yeah, they have speed limiters on them. So, you mean, I can tell you pretty much what it's going to run top end. But, it's to me a better test of what it's going to be is the daily in and out of traffic and the get up and go from a stoplight and the occasion that I get every once in a while to hook a trailer to it and pull something with them.
And if you need to accelerate, it's certainly going to do that.
It's got the power to do it. I tell you, we've got several of the new four-cylinder turbo trucks in I've been fairly impressed with them as far as the power and drivability they have. They're pretty sporty little trucks. I mean, I've been very impressed. I mean, it's right at 300 horsepower. So,
Tom, what do you think? Yeah. Was that a pretty diplomatic answer?
That's about as clean as he could put it.
Let's discuss it during the commercials.
Exactly.
Nah, we don't even want to talk about that.
That's my politically correct answer.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
We're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
It's really souped up, and that Model A body makes it look like a puff. It's got 12 cylinders, uses them all with an overdrive. It just won't stall. Got a four-barrel carb and dual exhaust, 411 gears, so can really get lost. Got safety tubes, and I'm not scared. The brakes are good, and the tires are fair. We left San Pedro late one night. The moon and the stars were shining bright. Everything went fine up the Grapevine Hill. We was passing cars like they were standing still.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, you heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal day when the Ford and the Mercury.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call, 343-0106. We've been talking a little bit about the new trucks and cars and that we got out there at UJ Chevrolet, and invite everybody to come by and take a look, see what we got. You got the new Blazer out there now. It's a very nice looking SUV. You know, we've got the latest version of the Camaro. Its update is there, and it's a nice looking car. It really is.
Did you get about a 750 horsepower motor in that thing?
It's right, almost 700 horsepower if you get the right one. It's a handful.
It is. I can imagine. Yeah, we got a caller online.
Yeah, caller, you with us?
Yeah.
Yes. What can we do for you?
Is this Tom Claxton?
No. No, that was the car doctor, Kevin Raywinkle. How you doing, Nick?
What's happening? The legend.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about the legend, you know, just an old wore out old country boy trying to make a living.
You ain't wore out. You got suspenders.
I got suspenders in it. This is the fabulous Nick from Ed's Seafood Shed. Nick, you guys have got a bunch of new stuff going on over there. How about enlighten us about it?
Man, we got music Thursday, Friday, Saturday,
woo,
Sunday. We've got a new menu coming out. We've got a kids zone. We got the Sugar Shack. We got kids dances. We got Eddie the Alligator. And we got all kinds of great stuff going on at Ed's. It's entertainment for everybody. It's Gulf seafood for the soul, for sure.
Yes, it is. Yes. You know, one of the things that we used to sell for Ed's was the fact that it had it was local seafood.
Yes, we use local shrimp. We use Gulf shrimp. We use Gulf oysters. We're doing snapper. We're doing triggerfish. House made greens. The whole new menu has a whole bowl section where we use layered food, and we put the greens and the rice on the top, on the bottom, and top it with fish. Hit it with a little sauce. It's really, really good.
Man, tell us about those bowls that you were serving when we were doing the remotes over there. What was that deal?
Yeah, Parmesan crusted fish over wild rice and house greens with a little crawfish cream sauce.
Ooh.
We've got an oyster bowl. I've got a smothered oyster with greens and fried oysters with top with the crawfish cream sauce as an appetizer. We've
That's
got a pimento cheeseburger going. We've got a whole lot of stuff going on.
What, y'all are refining that menu. I know that you have some future ideas about the fabulous Ed's Seafood Shed style of eating, say, on the Gulf Coast and in the Southeast. So it's neat to see you guys continue to work through that and fine-tune these recipes that you're putting out over there. Let us all test them.
Oh, yeah, man. We sell a ton of crab cakes. Crab claws. It's been a fun deal. And outside, we've covered the patio. We've got some live entertainment going on. We have this whole kids element where the kids. We have a person working in the shack called the Fun Boss, where they do dances with the kids. And we're going to be doing simulcast our first ever Causeway Turtle Races every night.
What?
I know you're a race car driver, car guy, but we're going to have our own. racing turtles.
Are these live turtles?
Live turtles, man.
Man, I'm going to sneak over there one night and get me one and fill him full of steroids.
Soup him up.
Yeah.
No, I want to know is what is the top speed on a turtle?
Downhill or uphill?
Yeah, there you go.
With a wind or without against
the wind.
Yeah,
with a tailwind or not.
Yeah. The side, it depends on what side the cracker's on.
Oh, yeah. My Lord. Yeah, you bet. Yeah, you know. But now, can anybody participate? Can any of the kids participate in those endeavors that you have there? How does that work?
The fun boss will be doing the races. Typically, we'll do them every hour. It'll be in front of the Sugar Shack and in between the live music and entertainment. We'll run races. Kids can win prizes. It's really going to be a great fun element.
That's
we
awesome.
Got fans and misters. Bottom patio's covered, some great music, and then, of course, you know, the food that Ed's has been doing for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah.
And don't forget
yeah.
the coleslaw. We got the slaw. You know what the best thing about the slaw is?
I love it. That's the best part I like.
It's free.
Oh, it's free. Oh, yeah. That makes it better. Well, listen, you just said something there that we haven't seen here, but we have seen over at the Sunset Point. And that is the water misters.
Oh, yeah, man.
How does that
work?
Yeah.
You'll have fans and misters. It'll be the cool zone out there.
Cool zone.
it'll keep everything moving.
Well, the misters are not going to bother the ladies' hairs and all their fine clothes, are they?
No. It's just a light sprinkle. It may make your hair a little flat, but you'll sure be cool.
They'll be cool while they're
out there. Yeah, man.
Well, okay, as long as it leaves those special beverages cold in the iced mugs that are, you know, don't lose their cold temperature, we all right.
Yeah, Monday night we're still doing the Mullet Monday. Tuesday we're going to start doing a shrimp boil with Connecticut sausage and corn, and that's going to be cool with some new potatoes. And then Thursday we start our entertainment. So we've got a lot going on at Ed's. Ed's is going to be – it's the new Ed's, man.
The new Ed's Seafood Shed. Get your butt to Ed's.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, brother.
I hope all is well.
All right. Well, we're trucking along, brother. We appreciate it. You have a good one.
Y'all have a great night.
Thank you.
One of the highlights of the Causeway.
Oh yes. Yeah. You know, and it's local seafood. You know, I was going to bring this up while he was on there, but I didn't have a chance. There's some of these exotic seafood restaurants around town.
Mm-hmm.
That's serving frozen seafood.
Well, I noticed
Vietnam
on the news
places.
The other day that they were talking about passing an ordinance where they have to disclose where they're getting their seafood.
There you go.
Which won't affect Ed's because you know it's coming from here.
It's like when they have the Mullet Mondays over there. They have a guy that fishes mullet in the Bay Area. And if he don't catch any mullet, they don't have mullet to eat.
Right.
But if it's caught, you know, when he catches it in the water at 11 or 12 o'clock, and it's on the table over there by 1:30 or 2, you know.
Right.
So that's unbelievable mullet when it's fresh like that.
Get there early and get it fresh, no doubt.
What was the old saying? It swam in the Gulf this morning, and it's on your plate tonight.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the way it is. It is.
Now, I hate to ask a question that may have a no answer. It's always risky. Well, because I want to know. Did they do away with your mama's platter?
No, sir. I think I saw it on the menu. Mm-hmm.
Reason I
love
that.
You can't eat one.
No, two people can eat your mama's platter.
They have trouble doing that.
Yeah, it's a lot of food.
I'd like to crack that. We had the guys over there from Fight or Die rowing teams.
Yeah.
And those guys had been working out for like 4 months, you know, and they'd been out rowing and all that.
Rowed across the ocean.
This is just before that. They're getting ready to go. They were in good shape and everything. So they said somebody said something about your mama's platter. And they said, oh, hell yeah, I can eat one.
Uh-huh.
And they said, Nick said, if you can eat it all, I'll buy it.
Mm-hmm.
The guy had to give up. No way.
It's a lot of everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of food, no doubt. But let's see, we do have a couple text messages here.
Let's do it.
Let's see, we got.
Let's fix some cars.
Rapid Ray's daughter, Michelle, what do you think of the variable compression engine?
She's going to have to become part of the show.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Well, she is already.
Yeah.
But what do you think of the variable compression engine Nissan puts in the Altima? Well, you know, it's a. It's a neat idea, and you know, I have not had a whole lot of experience with them. Don't know how they're handling, holding up in that, but it's really a neat idea, and I love the fact that you have a variable compression, a variable cam timing, all the above, the variable lift on some motors.
That's not same motor now.
Well, I'm sure.
All the above.
Yeah, well, this one I'm not sure about the variable lift, but I know it's got variable cam timing.
How's it got variable compression?
And I haven't seen this one, but I know the way that they have done them in the past and on some motors, they actually hinge the block between the crankshaft and the cylinders.
Huh.
It's actually hinged on one side, and it has an electric actuator that raises and lowers the deck height of the motor. So it changes the deck height.
Huh.
And it doesn't take a whole lot to change your compression ratio.
No, I know that, but so, I'm still trying to picture what you're talking about.
And the ones I've seen have a big bellows, a rubber bellows in the middle.
Okay, that's what I was trying to figure.
It's able to move it, and it's. I mean, we're talking about a substantial piece here. I mean, it's not, you know, two little piano hinges or a little piano hinge or something.
Right.
And that it's a substantial piece. Because you still
cool
got to
move.
Control.
That's a cool move. I like that.
Yeah.
And what do you gain by varying the compression?
Well, you know, you can sit there and the way I've always looked at it, the more compression you got, the better, you know, more power you're going to be able to make.
Right.
Compression's horsepower, just like cubic inch, you know.
So, I mean, would it kick in when you're going up a hill to the mountains?
Well,
or
when you need it, it's there. If you don't, you don't.
Works off the acceleration.
Yeah. It's just like all the rest of the stuff. You know, it lets you have a motor that'll sit there and idle smooth and do everything it's supposed to do. But then when you call on it, need the power.
Same principle on your valve.
And the variable lift stuff.
And the variable lift on the cam.
Same deal.
That's awesome.
Same deal. And we got another tech message, and we'll get to when we get back after these messages. We'll let you hear from our sponsors. We'll be back.
She's wound up and she's running like never before. There's a speed zone ahead with all right. I don't see a cop in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. I got me 10 forward gears on a Georgia overdrive. I'm taking little white pills and my eyes are open wide. I just passed.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The Doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Let's see, we got a message here from James. I want to know about the recall I heard about on the Silverado catching fire from a block heater or coolant.
Is that real?
Well, there is a recall on them that's just recently come out over the last week or so. They're apparently having some issues with the cord or the heater itself. They really haven't told us exactly what. At this point, we're disabling the block heater on them. This time of year in South, you know,
we don't
Alabama.
Need that in Alabama anyway.
Well, I don't know that you really ever need a block heater down here anyway.
No.
They have corrected the whole hard to start diesel issue.
On diesel?
Yeah, and it's all on the Duramax diesel stuff.
Oh, okay.
Well, and I say on the Duramax, but it's on some of the little cars too, but we just don't see many of those.
It's not on gas burners though, is it?
No, just the diesel.
Just diesel.
Yeah,
okay.
Just the diesels. And for right now, they're disabling the block heater. But as long as you're not plugging it up, it's not an issue, you know, because the only time it's going to short out is if you got an extension cord plugged to it.
Well, doesn't that work on the same principle as like a hot water heater? I mean,
that's exactly what it is.
You've got a little heating element that's inside of the block, and you're just running power to it, and it activates it.
Yeah, that's all it is, because, I mean, the block heater is exactly that. It goes in through the
an expansion plug, freeze plug, they call it,
in the side of a block where the heating element is inside the coolant passage. And basically all it does is just you plug up a cord to it and you're heating that heating element up, and it's heating up the coolant in the motor, you know, which in turn just brings the temperature up.
That might mess with my dang air conditioner.
That's right.
Me and Charlie be done killed that day because it messed with our air conditioner.
Yeah, we've had some, you know, the older diesels over the years, and, the only thing nice about on the older ones, it makes them crank way easier when it's cold. And one thing that is nice is as soon as you get in there and crank it up, if the block heater's been on, you got hot air, you know, because you're going to have your heater work
right now. Yeah, because your water's warm.
Your water's already warm in it.
So. And that's really what you're doing, is just heating the coolant in the in the water that's in the block.
Right, right.
Now, it just heats that, but do they have some form of or semblance of circulating that in that
No,
system?
It doesn't. It doesn't circulate. But, I mean, when you create temperature in the coolant, it's going to circulate itself some anyway.
The heat's going to dissipate back through the water.
Right. It's going
to. And into the metal?
Right, right. It's just going to start heating everything up, and it just brings everything up to temperature. Not totally up to temperature, but it brings it up to a reasonable temperature in the motor.
Well, we don't need that down here anymore.
And that's, like I say, it has not been an issue. I've gotten into, our diesels, on some of the coldest days we have down here, which is not that cold anyway. No. But, it may be in the 20s, and I'll climb in there. And normally you see that white light on some of the older ones.
That would
work
great in Alaska.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and most of those places, they have power ports, ports somewhere close to where you park all the time anyway, because everybody plugs their cars up, even the gas burners, because it's so cold that you can get below what the antifreeze can handle. You get down in the minus 20, 30 degrees on your antifreeze, and it get colder than that. So so you got to keep them. You got to keep them all.
Well, you want to cool it in your radiator, but you don't need any of that cooling in your body.
Right, right, right.
You got that alcoholic coolant.
Right.
That just makes you that much colder.
It's exactly. The wrong kind of alcohol.
Yeah, wrong
coolant.
Wrong kind of antifreeze. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever ridden in a diesel car. Mm-hmm. Do they have the push button start like the others do now?
Some do.
Well,
some do.
So you push the button. Do you have to wait for the plug to heat up, or does
and,
it
and that's
crank?
One of the things I was saying on these is you don't really even have to wait. You don't even notice a wait time. When it comes to it. As soon as you hit the key, it fires up just like a gas burner. It's not an issue anymore.
That's a lot of progress.
What you're talking about, Charlie, is back in our day, it was the glow plugs, we called them. You had to let the glow plugs get hot.
They had to glow enough to get hot.
They got instantaneous glow plugs now.
Well, and, we still have glow plugs in the motors, but they're basically a high-speed ceramic glow plug that, it heats up almost instantaneously. And all that's having to do is put a little temperature in that cylinder for it to fire, because that's all a diesel has. It has compression, heat, and fuel, and that's what makes it run. So
and y'all took the spark plugs out of it.
Yep, yep.
You guys were talking about something really interesting during this last break about the vehicles more and more going to all electric.
Yep.
And then Tom was telling us about an electric road somewhere in Georgia.
Right.
Yep, they're
East Point, Georgia,
and they've been
East Point somewhere there.
Yeah, they're working on and they haven't heard a lot about it over the last year or two.
That's an experimental.
The experimental deal there, where they were actually putting a charging lane in, where if you had an electric vehicle, you drive over that lane and it would charge the vehicle going down the road.
Well, we're laughing about that, and we're giggling. But look what they've come out with on the dang phones. You can put a phone on top of each other and charge the other one.
Yeah.
Right.
You can take your electric watch and put it on there and charge it,
Yep.
I didn't know you could do that with your watch.
Well, they have electric watches, with special batteries in them, sure.
Right.
It's all special components, but
the fact is
it's out there.
Right.
It's amazing that they're doing all of this.
The electric technology is really, it's just moving so fast nowadays. I just saw last week where General Motors announced that they are going to be releasing an all-electric truck.
18-wheeler?
No, just a pickup truck.
Half well, they ton. Already got some 18-wheelers.
Well, there's a lot of 18-wheeler stuff around. Yeah, there's several different companies that are doing the big trucks. The advantage to having a truck, SUV, that kind of thing that's electric, you got all the room in the world to put batteries. Yeah, so you've got plenty of room for battery packs and the capability of carrying them.
Yeah, because you don't have all those engine parts that deal with gasoline.
Yeah, right. But look at the lithium batteries and all now, the technology that we've got. We've actually got one of the biggest battery plants being built in North Alabama in the world.
Right.
And we've also got a plant up there that's going to recycle the old batteries that's coming out of the electric cars that we had out there because they understand they take them out. You know more about that than I do. After about 10 years, that they remove those batteries.
Right. Well, and by that time, they're pretty well used up, you know, on the batteries. But, I mean, there are things that they can do with them instead of just throwing the battery away.
Sure.
I mean, there's other things that can be done.
That's what they wanted to do with this plant.
Right.
They're talking about up there.
And actually, on the older technology batteries, you know, you had a 300-volt battery pack that was basically – one battery. I mean, if you had a problem, you had to replace the whole thing.
Right.
And now we can service individual cells in some of these batteries.
Really?
So you don't have to replace the whole battery. You can replace pieces of it. But, you know, you would be amazed at how few problems that you have with the electric components in these cars. We've still got some of the 07, 08 Tahoes running around that were hybrid vehicles. Then when GM first started doing it back then, that are still running around on the street. And then, when we have problems with them, it's usually someone has been working on it it's been
trying
sitting somewhere.
To work on it.
Or it has, maybe it's had a mechanical engine failure or whatever because it's a hybrid. It does still use a gasoline burning motor. And a lot of times what will happen is someone will go in and they'll do some motor work and they won't have everything hooked back up the way it should be.
Okay.
Or they'll let, something, the main battery run down and without a way to charge it back up, they have no way to get it going again. And they also have to remember that it has to have a good 12-volt battery in the vehicle to be able to run all the accessories because the accessories and power stuff does not run off of the 300-volt battery. It runs off a 12-volt battery.
Kevin, is there if you open the hood of an electric car, isn't there a possible shock hazard there?
There can be. On any kind of electric vehicle, there's going to be main disconnect switch. If you have to service the vehicle or something, you get in an accident, whatever, you do need to know where the disconnect is. You also, if you're going to service it, you need to know where the disconnects are at.
I guess if you're going to have your car towed, well, I remember one night we had a tow truck driver call in and was very concerned about towing an electric vehicle, pulling it up on a truck.
Well, if it's an electric vehicle, it really needs to be towed on a flatbed. It does not need to be towed with wheels on the ground.
But there's a way to disconnect the electricity.
There are ways to disconnect electricity, but you got to remember that each wheel on a lot of the electric vehicles is a generator, and it can generate current on its own, so it's not a good thing to do that.
Best thing is pull it up on the flatbed.
Pull it up on the flatbed, and you don't have to worry about any of that. But, they've gotten so much better with the electric technology. I can see inside of 10 years the majority of the vehicles being sold being all electric.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The ability to recharge, the ability to go long distances. Michelle here is sending us a text saying that Tesla's semi-truck has a 500-mile range and a 0-60 in 5 seconds.
Yeah, it's like a drag truck.
Yeah, and this is a full-size semi-truck pulling a transport truck that can pull load down the road. You know,
that's a real live hot rod, though. Because
exactly,
the power to an electric from an electric motor is instantaneous. Boom. Where combustion engine's got to build up that power.
Right.
That's why the guys race their motors up and then drop the clutch or the, you know, engage it.
Well, it's just like, you know, they've been doing it for years with cranes and that kind of thing. They use an electric motor as the brake as well because, you know, you can make 100% torque at zero RPMs on an electric motor. So you can it can hold itself at whatever load it's rated for. It can hold itself at zero RPM. So it basically is its own brake. But at that point, if you can make that kind of torque at zero RPM, you have instantaneous torque.
Right.
Yeah, when you're ready to get going. So you don't have to wind it up.
Oh, yes.
But it sounds like it's time for us to take a break. And we're going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back after these messages.
And a sack of clothes, free and easy down the road I go. Hanging memories on the highline poles, free and easy down the road I go. Free and easy down the road I go. Up.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call, 343-0106.
Phones have been really quiet tonight.
They have been. I guess we fixed everything.
All the cars are working properly and nobody's having any problems or questions.
Yeah. I find that hard to believe, but, you know, it's. I guess it's possible.
And they don't realize that we could talk for a year.
Easy. Are you getting more customers stuff. Inquiring or taking a look or test driving the hybrids or the electric vehicles?
We get a few. I mean, as far as ours, UJ as a company has not gotten real big into the hybrid part yet. You know, we sell a few. We service them, that kind of stuff. But we have not had a big rush for them at this point, but
still early.
It's coming, you know.
Well, I think most of the people realize the same thing that we've talked about several times before, and that is that if you've got a car and you go and buy gas for it,
right,
you're paying a road use tax.
Uh-huh.
But
on every gallon.
Right, on every gallon. And then the city and the county and the state gets part of that road use tax. Now, when you have a hybrid car or an electric vehicle and you don't buy gas, you're not paying road use taxes.
Right.
So yeah, we can all be prepared. Somewhere down the road in the very near future, we're going to have to pay a road use tax, whether they get it with our tag, whether they get it with people that's running a lot of miles. I mean, if you got somebody that's driving 60,000 miles a year on all the roads, then they should pay more taxes than I do if I'm only driving, you know, 12,000 miles a year.
Well, maybe they could check your odometer every time you renew your tag.
They don't even have to do that, Charlie. Those cars right now in the computers that are on them could be monitored as you're driving down the street, and they could have a post out there that a reader, and they can read every car that goes by there and read your mileage on it.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not sure if I'm quite ready for that yet. I mean, I don't necessarily want the government to know exactly where I'm driving every time I get in my car.
Well, you know what? Whether we like it or not, it's coming.
It's coming.
And they're going to read those mileages.
They're going to still have to maintain the roads and bridges and all that stuff.
Well,
wait a minute. Now, if we get the green deal, we won't have any cars any damn way, and we won't have any cows, and they're not going to let us ride horses because they poot, you know? And when that poot, they get methane that comes out of that end, and methane comes out of the other end.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going to have to go back to eating grass. Yeah. The green deal is you're going to have to eat grass and limbs off of trees.
We can't run our cars on methane?
We're not going to have cars, and we're not going to have trucks. And we're not going to have tractors because they mess up our air, you know.
Truck.
So that's the green deal. So, well, I don't think I will live long enough to see that.
I hope I don't. Yeah, but it's all right.
That's why they wear all those masks over in China.
Yep. There's enough smart people in America and the rest of the world to realize that damn deal's not going to work.
Right.
You know, you can't do without meat. You know, even the guys living in the caves had meat. You know, that's what they lived on.
I'll tell you what, I think our air is a lot cleaner than China or India.
Sure.
Or most of the underdeveloped countries.
Right.
Well,
we have the Clean Air and Water Act, and we've come a long way.
We're the only country that has actually lowered our carbon footprint versus all the other countries in the world. So, I mean, we've been doing something right. It may not be enough, but everybody else in the world's got to help too.
Sure.
Yeah,
we can't be the only ones.
Yeah, we can't be the only ones.
But then we also all have to realize that this earth goes through heat and cold cycles when it gets ready to.
Right.
And does all of this stuff, carbon dioxide footprint and all that, carbon footprints and all, have something to do with it? A little bit. But, you know, it's controlled by the earth and the earth's movement and all. And, you know, we've been having ice ages and heat ages and ice ages and heat ages for millions of damn years. And it ain't going to change.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. We need to watch out for our environment, and we're doing a lot to help that. And I agree with a lot of things, but
look what we've done. You
get a little
emissions,
crazy about some stuff
emission standards in the vehicles.
Wow,
I don't know. I always agree with some of those California standards, but we're putting out a heck of a lot less from our cars and trucks than we used to.
Right. Let's see. We got a text message here from Dave in Gulf Shores. Kevin, aren't you BMW i3 trained? I thought you did BMW as well. Well, I did. I used to do BMW. I was service manager over there for several years. I did go through some of the i3 training. I was basically leaving about the time it was released. So the i3 and the i8, they were. I think we did receive our first i3 right before I did leave. So we got to play with it a little bit. But they've got some neat stuff, and this is not new technology. I mean, that's been 7 years ago, I think, that the i3 come out, 7 or 8 years ago. So, these cars have been around a while. GM's been working with the hybrid stuff. They even had a hybrid pickup truck before they did the 07 and 08 Tahoes and Yukons. They had a truck that it was a mild hybrid. It had basically a start-stop technology. It did not have a starter. The Bellhausen had a field that went around the converter, and it used that as a starter to start the motor.
Alternator.
Oh yeah, it would spin the motor up fast enough to where you could take off from a red light before it ever fired the motor up.
They said that would never happen too.
Yeah.
But it did.
So I mean, they're really coming out with some neat stuff. You know, the all the brake assist systems now are mostly electric instead of vacuum. The power steering systems are pretty much all electric now instead of hydraulic. They have the capability of having an electric air conditioner that's not a belt-driven compressor. So there's a lot of stuff that's already in place that does not require a motor to drive it. The technology's out there. They're doing, they're growing in leaps and bounds in the battery and charging technologies. So it's coming. You might as well get ready for it because it's going to be here.
Oh, yeah. But we have, guys and gals, I've been around a long time, and we hadn't seen nothing yet.
Right.
Oh, but I mean, it's like we was talking with Charlie a while ago about laying a phone on top of another phone so it could charge,
Right.
And if you'll watch, well, we used to wind up the damn watches, right? if your watch was running down, you could put it on top of your phone and charge the sucker.
Right.
I like the one where your movement would wind the watch because they had a little weight inside that would move around.
Right. Yeah, they've gone a long way past that now, but it's coming. Get used to it.
That fiddler's telling us to get out of
here. Oh, yeah.
It's telling me it's time to go, but I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show tonight, and Tom and I will be back next week.
And all of our fine veterans out there, hoorah.
I heard that old jukebox playing a song about a truck-driving man. So pour me another cup of coffee.